we started with our last communion service this morning, we look at the second beatitude. It'd be Matthew 5, verse 4. Matthew 5, verse 4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, it seems a paradox, doesn't it? The word blessed can also be interpreted happy. Sorrow and joy seem opposed to one another, but the Lord says that those who sorrow are blessed. Now, there are many sorrows in our life, aren't they? Psalm 90 says, whether we're 70 or 80 years or more, our life is filled with troubles, sickness, pain, bereavement, material loss, wounded pride, the list goes on. But how do you handle those sorrows? Do you become bitter in them? Do you try to forget them? Do you try to cover them up? The world's philosophy is eat, drink, and be merry. We live in the midst of a pleasure mania. Forget your troubles, turn your back upon them, do everything in your power not to face them. How much money, how much energy, how much enthusiasm are expended on entertainment to get away from the spirit of mourning? But the gospel says, blessed or happy are those that mourn. We read this morning, didn't we, from Luke 2, the parallel passage. That's probably put in an even more striking manner. Happy are those who mourn, for they shall laugh. And then the corresponding verse is, woe unto you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. That passage condemns the apparent laughter and pleasure and joviality and the happiness of this world. Eat, drink, and be merry. Woe unto those who laugh now, they shall weep and mourn. But now God's word comes to us and it says there is blessing in those who mourn. What is it to mourn? How are we to mourn? And then the reason for our blessedness. Just as the being poor in Matthew 5 verse 3 is not a physical being poor, financial poverty, but it's something spiritual, so also this mourning, this weeping. For example, the Lord does not say those who mourn the loss of a spouse are going to be blessed. There's a reason. The Lord is not saying the young person that gets beat up by his classmates or is mocked on the playground is blessed. But it has reference to a spiritual condition, a spiritual attitude, something that's not found in the world. But it's also something that probably is not as evident in the church today as it ought to be. Poverty of spirit and the resulting mourning over it. Not as evident as it should be. Is it because we're a product of our age? That we too want to be like the world as Israel wanted to be like the nations with their own king and have peace and prosperity? How many in the churches really have the attitude, and the churches follow along, don't preach about sin? And I'm not saying that now so that we can look down and say, well, we do preach about sin, so we feel good about ourselves. But there is a tendency of not wanting to hear about sin because then we don't feel bad about ourselves. But without a real knowledge of sin, there's not going to be a real knowledge of gratitude, is there? If a person is bailed out of debt, a great debt, and he feels bad that he can't pay his creditors, how thankful he will be to the person who comes along and helps him out and pays those debts. But if there is a person who isn't really bothered that he's not paying his employees, and if someone comes and pays the employees for him, he probably grumbles, why didn't they just give the money to me? There has to be a real sense of sin before there can be the true joy of salvation. There needs to be a real acknowledgement of our sins this morning before there's going to be great celebration at the table. Owning up to our sins, not ignoring them. That owning up to our sins is not something that comes to us by ourselves. It's God's grace. In His Word, Jesus comes, He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn. Do you feel great sorrow for your sins? Can you identify with that woman that comes to Jesus and she washes her feet with her tears and dries her feet with her hair? Can you identify with a Peter after he had denied Jesus three times and Jesus looks at him when the cock crows and we read he went out and wept bitterly? We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, for godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. What is this mourning over sin? Many will weep because of the consequences of sin. That's not godly sorrow. That's the world's sorrow. I got caught. But weeping because we have offended God, because we have sinned against Him, because instead of always aiming for that mark of glorifying God in our thoughts and in our words and in our actions, we thought about ourselves or we have served Satan. What do we mourn over? We mourn, first of all, about our sins and our guilt and our unworthiness. We cry out with that publican, have mercy upon me, a sinner. The psalmist says in Psalm 51, we know that's David, he knew his grievous sins. Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy steadfast love, according to thy abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities. Cleanse me from my sins. sins, for I know my transgressions and my sins are ever before me. So we mourn over our deeds. But that's not it. That's not it. We not only mourn over our sins, but we mourn about our sinful nature that causes all those sins that they flow out of. Those sins don't come from the new man in Christ, but those sins come from that old sinful nature that we are called to mortify, to put to death. Oh, that sinful nature that you and I have to fight against all of our lives. It's not just boys and girls, it's not just young people. But the older we get, the more we recognize that old man of sin for what he is. So that we say with the Apostle Paul in Romans 7, the good that I would, I do not, and that which I would not, that I do, O wretched man that I am. We mourn over the sinfulness of the whole church, our brothers and sisters with us. We come together, and usually every Sunday morning there is the reading of the law. Why? Why at the beginning of the service? And the answer is because we stand before a holy and a righteous God, and we know our own unworthiness, and we are humbled. We don't deserve, as a people, to stand before God. We do not look down in pride in the person that has fallen into a grievous sin and say, well, I'm not like that, or we ought not to. We ought not to gossip about, you know what so-and-so did, what so-and-so said. But mourn, because we're just like them. And it's only by grace that each of us has not fallen into those sins. So we mourn over one another in the church, in the congregation, and we mourn over the state of the church in the world. The terrible apostasy. They have the name church over the door, but where the people really aren't too much different from those in the world. We mourn over the sinfulness of the church. And we mourn over the sinfulness of the world that we live in. Think of Jesus Christ, the sinless one, when he was in this world, what suffering all of his life. When he saw the sins in his own family, when he saw the sins of his own countrymen, when he saw and heard the sins of the world that he lived in. Well, that is the sensitivity that you and I also have. There is this holy and righteous God who has made all things good, and look at the world as it plunges itself, as it develops in sin. And we mourn. We weep, hopefully, bitter tears. That is quite different than the Pharisee who looks around and says, God, I'm thankful that I'm not like them. As we've examined our hearts and our lives this past week, of ourselves, we're no different. Only grace. We weep. We weep because we do rejoice in the goodness and the righteousness and the holiness of our God. Too pure to behold iniquity.
we weep. Because by faith we look on him who was pierced and hung on the cross. Why? Not for his own sins. As we heard, he was declared innocent. But we weep because it was my sins, and it was your sins, and it was the sins of all his elect people that were put on him. Or, as Paul writes, he was made sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Do you weep on your bed after the day is over, and you think of what you have done, what you have said, or even maybe what you have thought? Bitter tears. How wet are your eyes at times, or are we becoming calloused? We see all the sin out there in the world. Perhaps it comes in books or in magazines or on television shows, and we become calloused. We hardly take notice of when God's precious name is taken in vain. And the stealing that's going all around. What is it, a few coins or dollar bills that perhaps we take out of mother's purse or dad's billfold? We grieve. We mourn. We weep tears because we are sinning against that Holy Spirit that's dwelling within us. We know better. So often, even though we know better, yet we go ahead and do it because it feels good. We somehow try to justify it in our own minds. We grieve because that Spirit has been given to us to cleanse up our act, sanctifying us. And we grieve because, as the Catechism says, there's only a small beginning of that new obedience in us. We grieve because there's only a small beginning of that love that we ought to have, a response to his great love to us. We grieve because there's such a lack of gratitude in our lives. We go about like the rat on a treadmill with our lives, doing this, doing that, and how often do we give a thought to what he has done for us, and that our whole life is one of service and of gratitude? Boys and girls, how often do you think of your studying for school or taking tests as an act of obedience and gratitude to God? You do the best in order to serve him. How often in our marriages do we think about that, or in our single life? How often do we think about that in our work? That I'm doing the best of my ability. Why? Because I serve a risen Savior, because I want to live every part of my life for him. How often do we think about that with our recreation? We come this morning. Blessed are we who come and mourn with a godly sorrow. And 2 Corinthians 7, which we'll read later on, says a godly sorrow that works repentance. This is not just a matter of wringing our hands and saying, yeah, I didn't do very good, and then we go on. This is not the kind of sorrow of a Judas who recognizes the horrific thing that he has done And he goes out and hangs himself. Blessed are those who mourn a godly sorrow unto repentance. We bow down, we say, oh Father, forgive me. I hate my sins. I want to fight those sins, flee those sins, and I want to turn a page. I want to do better. Repentance unto salvation. Blessed are those that mourn. Well, briefly, how do we mourn? It must be not just a once in a while occurrence. For example, when we have preparatory and communion. But brother and sister, it has to be a daily occurrence. It has to be an individual occurrence, mourning over our personal sin. Tears that come to our eyes because of our spiritual poverty. As the day comes to a close, we close our eyes in prayer before we close our eyes in sleep. And we ask, Lord, what have I done today? Lord, what words have I spoken? Lord, what thoughts went through my mind, and instead of fighting them, I lingered on them. Lord, how have I behaved? Lord, in my marriage, Lord, in my single life, Lord, as a student, Lord, as a family member, Lord, as a person of the community, have I lived for thy glory? Have I gratefully given myself and my talents and my money for the kingdom? Have I built up and have I been a blessing to those around me? Or have I been a thorn in their flesh? Have I used mean words? And we ask not only, have I done it, which then we have to acknowledge. Acknowledge all of those sins. It's too easy, isn't it? It's too easy for you and I just to end our prayers and forgive me my sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. We think of the particular sins that we have spoken. And we cry about them, and we ask the question, why did I do it? Why was I so insensitive? Why was I so busy doing everything else? Why? An individual daily weeping for our sinful condition, for the sins that we have done. It's a daily mourning that we do with as families, as fathers and mothers. With the children, we sit down, we confess our sins together rather than ignoring them. Maybe the angry looks the children have given. Maybe the harsh word that the parents have given to the child. Maybe the husband that has forsaken the family. And we mourn over that. We mourn over the lack of building each other up. God's given us a marvelous thing, hasn't he? Christian families to surround us. Why aren't we listening to each other? Why at times is the table a battlefield instead of a wonderful table of fellowship? And then parents with their children sit down before the Lord. And they weep and confess their sins to one another. I think of fathers, the responsibility of mothers being a good witness of our Father in heaven and the motherly care that that God gives to all his children. What do others say about our family? What do we say about our family to others? Young people, boys and girls, what do you say to others about your parents? Parents or spouses, what do you say about your spouse to others that you work with? Grumble and complain, or is it witnessing of God's grace? It is a communal mourning for our sins. A good section of our congregational prayer, we lay our sins before the Lord as God's people. Lord, forgive us. Humbled by the reading of the law. Confessing our sins, and in the way of confession, experiencing God's forgiveness. Our conscience accusing us, and then the Holy Spirit saying, but you're righteous through God's electing love, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit causing that knowledge to come to us. How do we mourn? By grace. By grace. God shows us our sins in his word, through the preaching of the word, through the law. And then he works in our hearts that godly sorrow. Have you experienced that this past week? And if not yet, hopefully this morning. We were called to examine ourselves, to prepare ourselves to come to the table of the Lord. How we need now the preaching, how we need the sacrament to reassure us, to strengthen our faith. Though our sins are many, they've been washed away. Though the tears have come down our eyes, they are wiped away. How does Jesus put it in Luke 6? Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall laugh. They will rejoice. Yes, they will celebrate what God has and is doing for us. All by God's grace. He shows us our need, filthy sinners, thoughts, words, deeds, that old man of sin. He shows us the Savior. He pictures to us how Jesus' body was broken and his blood was poured out for a complete remission of sins by grace. There's no other way out. There's no other way to purge our sins away. Your works can't do it. It will not do it. But Jesus' body and blood broken and shed for us. So that we cry out, Lord, nourish me with Christ Jesus. I need more and more of him. I'm going to eat and I'm going to drink Christ by faith. So that it's Christ more and more living in me. Blessed are those who mourn. Why are they blessed? And the reason is because of Christ. That's the only way there can be blessing in the mourning over our sins. So as you and I come to the table this morning, may our hearts be turned away from the bread and the wine there to Christ Jesus who's in heaven. He was crucified for our sins. He was raised, we read in Romans 4, for our justification. We come by faith, not out of custom or obligation, because, well, everyone's going to look and the elders afterwards go over who's here and who's not. And that's not the reason. But we come with a mouth of faith and with a hand we stretch forth and we take that bread and that wine, so that by faith we're drawn to Christ Jesus. And we say, He is my joy, He is my happiness, He is my salvation. That's our hope, that's our dependence, Christ and Christ alone. The assurance that though my sins are many, more than I can count, His grace is greater. And the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ washes away all those sins, and we're nourished with Him. The reason that those who mourn their spiritual poverty are blessed is because of grace that causes us to repent of those sins, to lay down in the ashes and say, I'm not worthy, Lord, but great is thy mercy. O Holy Spirit, work mightily. So as we partake this morning, that repentance is a repentance unto salvation. Blessed are those who mourn. Why? Because they shall be comforted. The word comfort in the English language comes really from two Latin words. It means with strength. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be strengthened. How? In Christ. Our tears wiped away, we have the comfort of Jesus. Jesus took my sins and Jesus took my guilt. Jesus took the punishment that I deserve. It's gone. The little sins, the big sins, all the sins. Oh, what comfort. Even while sin still dwells within me, that old man of sin is there till the day I die. Christ lives in me. Christ not only forgives, but Christ is delivering us from the corruption, the hold of sin. What a perfect comfort we will have one day throughout this life. There's always going to be sin and more sin. But God forgives us. But the day is coming when there's no more sin. When we're with Christ Jesus in the new heavens and the new earth. No more tears then, because there's no more sin. There's no more opposition. And so we pray as we come to the table of the Lord, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. What a day that will be. No more fighting against sin. No more mourning over sin. It's gone. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall laugh. Yes, not the laughter of a Sarah in unbelief, but the laughter of Abraham in the great things the Lord has done. The laughter of celebration. The Lord has us as his guest at his table. And he says, partake of me, ye who mourn, and be comforted. Amen. Let's go to the form.